Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
You can't fake it. It seems like you can't force it. But when creativity shows up at the right moment, your copy comes alive. And sometimes it makes the difference between a flat headline and a breakthrough idea, between a click and a sale, between a promotion that falls flat and a control that blows the doors off. On the other hand, when it doesn't show up, that's when things get rough. Here's the thing, though. Creativity isn't magic. Oh, I know it seems like magic, especially when a great new idea springs up seemingly out of nowhere. And sometimes you feel like only a magic trick or a miracle would save you when you're stuck or going through a dry spell. But the truth is, creativity is something you can spark pretty much on demand. All you need is the right tools and the right practices. And that's what we'll talk about today, right after we talk about this very creative idea. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time.
All right. Before we jump into it, I've got to ask you a question.
Yes.
I love creative writing. I love being creative. But sometimes I've noticed that creativity can kill conversion. Sometimes cute, clever, and creative don't lead to the sale. So before we get into this, I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, creativity is just the first step. You still have to use judgment. You still have to put it through a filter and answer the question I learned from Dan Kennedy: does this advance the sale? And if you have to reach for an answer to get a yes, maybe you need to keep coming up with other ideas, maybe. Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was a good preface for the show, and then we can jump into it.
Good. Yeah. Good question and good point. So today we're going to talk about 10 tested, proven ways to juice your creativity. Why they are not widely known, I don't know. Some are, in fact, but most aren't. Each creativity is booster is different, and each one works in a different way. And every single one of them can get you new ideas and put you back in motion when you're stuck. A word to the wise, though. None of these techniques is going to work very well for you if you haven't done your research beforehand, because you need to understand your prospect and your product as a baseline before you can tap into the magic of creativity. See, until you give your creativity some solid raw material to work with, it can't give you the valuable ideas and powerful copy to close sales on its own. This stuff doesn't emerge out of thin air, you know. It comes from your market and your product. That said, we've got a ton of stuff to cover, so let's get started. Our first instant creativity booster is get moving. To get moving, try this. Get moving. That is, if you're stuck staring at a blank page, sometimes the smartest thing to do is stop staring. Just move. I mean, shake your booty. Or simply take a few steps around the room. There's solid research behind this. A Stanford study showed that people came up with twice as many creative ideas when they were walking, even indoors, compared to sitting. Now, to be fair, the researchers weren't studying copywriters. But what they found applies perfectly when you're trying to write a headline or put together a lead or come up with a big idea. Because the paradox is, creative breakthroughs usually don't happen while you're thinking hard. They show up while your body is in motion and your brain is somewhere else. Brain chemistry helps to explain this. When you move your body, you get a dose of dopamine, serotonin, and other neurotransmitters that reduce mental stress and increase cognitive flexibility. Stated differently, your mind gets looser, your thinking gets broader, and ideas start to flow. And the best news of all is it doesn't take much. A 5-minute walk will do the trick. Anything that gets your blood moving and your attention off the problem for a few minutes. Now, here's a tip. Keep a phone or a recorder or a notebook handy. The best ideas often show up during or right after the walk. You don't want to lose them. This is one of the fastest, easiest ways to jumpstart your creativity. And you don't even need to believe it for it to work. You just need to try it.
I will second this. Some of my best ideas come when, especially if I'm like in a mental block, if I just go for a walk, 5 minutes into the walk, all of a sudden something just comes to me. And I always make sure to have my phone and my notes pad or my notes app open just in case. And it works like magic, never fails.
Yeah, it's a good one. That's why I put it first. All right, number two, quantity before quality. If you want better ideas, start by writing more of them. It sounds obvious, but most people don't do it. They try to land on the right idea right away. They aim for perfect on the first pass, and that's a recipe for stuck. The reality is sometimes your first 3 or 4 ideas usually aren't that good. They end up being the same ones everyone else would think of. But at a certain point, you get a breakthrough. You go beyond expected. Your brain stops pulling ideas off the shelf and starts digging deeper. And very often, that's where the good stuff is. There's research on this one, too. In a study reported in the Journal of Creative Behavior, people who were told to focus on quantity, not quality, ended up producing both more and better ideas than the people told to focus on one good idea. Turns out the key to brilliance is blowing past mediocrity first. So you might not get the killer headline because you wrote one. It might show up because you wrote 21 and crossed out 20 of them. So the next time you're stuck, don't ask, what's the best angle? Ask, can I write 21? And don't worry if the first few suck. That's okay. You'll probably find gold deeper down the list.
I will say a hack that goes along with this that I use a lot is before I start writing the sales page, before I pick a headline, I'll just write down a bunch of ideas, a bunch of bullets, a bunch of selling points or curiosities, and I'll use some of them throughout the piece. But sometimes one of the 20, 25 different ideas that I wrote down just for a bullet, I'm like, dude, that one would make a good headline, or these two would make really good headlines. And it wouldn't come if I wrote the piece and just tried to write one headline.
I like that method a lot. I even like it better than the one I said, because bullet points kind of force you to think of a benefit and express it in a attention-getting way, but you don't feel the same pressure. At least I don't find writing a bullet point as you do writing a headline. All right, number three. Creativity on demand. So there's this myth that creativity shows up when it wants to, that it's spontaneous, mysterious, out of your control. That might have been true for poets in the 1800s, but these days, well, we don't have time to wait for the muse. For that reason, it can be a good idea to build rituals, daily habits, consistent starting points. There's no magic in rituals when it comes to copywriting and creativity, but there is value because rituals signal to your brain it's time to work. One of the best known examples of this is the morning pages routine. You wake up, set a timer, and write 3 pages longhand, anything that comes to mind. Some writers have a ritual that's not even writing. It's making tea or reading 5 pages of a great ad. Or putting on the same playlist. The point isn't what the ritual is. It's that it's a ritual. It's familiar. It gets you started. When you practice creativity daily, you build a reserve. You train your brain to deliver on cue. Now, the most creatively effective client I have, who is CEO of a 10-figure business, used morning pages every day for a long time. We haven't talked about it lately. I mean, we did talk yesterday, but we didn't talk about morning pages. But these days, I have seen him go into a creative flow at the drop of a hat. A ritual worked for him, and it'll work for you too.
This is an interesting side note to that. I have space ritual. I have spaces in my house that I use for specific purposes. I have one studio that I use for recording one type of content. I have another office space in my house that I use for typing and writing and doing other types of creative work. And I noticed that I get into the flow of whatever type of work based off of which room or which office or studio in my house I'm in. And when I am feeling like I need to do this, I go to that part of the house and it does the same thing as a timed ritual or a mental state ritual, a space ritual works as well for me. I don't know if I'm the only one, but I've found that that works for me.
Yeah, I've never heard of that before, but it's a great idea. I'm sure there are other people who do it. I just never thought of it or heard of it myself, but I like the idea a lot. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So creativity booster number 4 is called Totally Random. It's about random ideas. Grab a random word, phrase, image, object, anything totally unrelated to what you're writing, and force yourself to make a connection. Now, this works because it shakes your brain out of its usual ruts. It forces new associations, and new associations is where creativity comes from. Let's say you're writing copy for a productivity app. You open a book at random, and you land on the word jungle. It makes you think about chaos. It reminds you of how people feel when they have too many tabs open in their browser. And suddenly you've got an idea. Tame your tab jungle. Maybe that's not the best hook, but at least now you're off on a new train of thought. What if you're writing for a financial product and the random word is mirror? You ask, what would a mirror say about your money habits? That turns into the investment that finally reflects your real goals. This is all about breaking patterns to get new ideas. You can use a dictionary, a photo, a product name, even an old magazine ad. The trick is to pick something at random and then ask, what does this make me think of? And how could that relate to what I'm working on? When you need a creative kickstart, try randomness.
So what this makes me think of is the idea of niching down in one industry versus I have clients in quite a few different industries. And sometimes when I'm working on a piece for a client in, say, the firearms industry or the CBD industry, all of a sudden I'll have an idea that applies to the personal development industry. And I wouldn't have come to it otherwise, but focusing my attention over here, it unlocks a piece of creativity that now can apply somewhere else that would have just been locked if I stayed stuck in that frame. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, what I was thinking of for the firearms industry and the personal development industry, you might want to come up with an idea like, aim that gun at the target, not at me. No, I think it's good. It actually relates to one of the other boosters. It's very important because, boy, we need to develop tunnel vision as copywriters. That's really important. You need to be laser focused and uninterruptible and focused on the goal, right? Aiming towards the goal. But at the same time, tunnel vision and laser focus can be an enemy to creativity. So it's good to be able to shift into different modes, I think. Mm-hmm. So here's booster number 5. And this booster explains why we do a podcast. It's called Talk, Talk, Talk. Instead of writing your copy, try saying it out loud first. Writing, especially when you're trying to be clever or persuasive, can get stiff fast. When you talk, your tone changes. You use language that sounds more human. That's why one of the best ways to find clarity or a breakthrough idea is to pitch your offer out loud, just like the person you're trying to convince is sitting right across from you. By the way, this works whether you're alone or with someone else. If you're by yourself, just hit record on your phone and talk through the offer. Say what it is, why it matters, what the biggest benefit is, what the customer is probably worried about. Then play it back and listen and transcribe it. Of course, you can do this with another person in the room too, and that might work even better. Just make sure you record it because you might not remember what you said. I've had that happen a lot of times. Idea comes out and someone says, could you repeat that? I say, no, that's why we record these calls, because I can't repeat it. I don't remember what I was saying. So anyway, next time your copy feels stiff, stop typing and start talking.
And if you feel awkward doing this in public, just put some earbuds in your ears and people will assume that you're on the phone with somebody.
Ah, really good point. Really good point. Especially if you're doing it outdoors or walking, you know. Okay. Booster number 6, go full contrarian. One of the fastest ways to get attention and to spark new ideas is to take the opposite side. Mm-hmm. Contrarian thinking. You start with what everyone else is saying in your market and then flip it. Let's say you're writing for a diet product. Every ad says, lose weight fast. What if you went the other way? Why, fast weight loss is the worst thing you can do. Now you've got tension. You've given them a reason to read. And you've got space to tell a new story. Or maybe you're promoting a financial product and everyone says, save more. You might say, why saving money might be your biggest financial mistake. Now, honestly, I don't know where you would go from there, but having a contrary idea will definitely open your mind to new possibilities. And here's how to do this. Make a list of the common promises, beliefs, and phrases in your market. Then go down the list and say, what if the opposite was true? Contrarian angles make people stop. And with copy, that's half the battle right there.
I'll also say, and I learned this from watching tons of different political debates, generally in a debate, you've got two people that have like a bunch of canned responses for each other, and they only see the debate from their point of view. And it's not a very broad way of thinking, but the people that seriously entertain and can put themselves and empathize with the contrarian point of view and think out their point of view with that in mind are the ones that really dominate and crush political debates. And it's because they have a broader depth of field. They have a broader understanding of the thing. And when you can do that with your market, when you can do that with especially like the objections, everybody saying lose weight, what's my market thinking that's the opposite of this? When you can really understand that, you can think about it on a level that most marketers, most copywriters aren't able to.
That's a really good point. So you're taking it to the next level. Not only think about the opposite, but think about what's the conversation you're entering and what would be the most, you know, attention-getting, surprising, engaging way to do it. I like that. That's really good. Stories are the most powerful way to get and hold a prospect's attention. Of course, you already know that. But the problem many of us have had is, even though stories are absolute magnets for getting attention, they don't do that much to advance the sale. That's because the way most of us have been taught to tell stories was not with persuasion in mind. I decided to change that. So I looked at what I had learned in studying story and writing copy for decades, as well as coaching all-star copywriters. What I had learned about stories that persuade, and I wrote a book. It's called The Persuasion Story Code. It tells you exactly how to create and use stories to move the sale forward. Lots of stories. I'm including examples of 25 different kinds with step-by-step guidelines for putting your own persuasion stories together. You can get The Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. Check it out. You'll be glad you did. All right, booster number 7, exaggerate. Now, you can't exaggerate claims in your finished copy in many cases and remain safe. Regulators and customers just might come after you. So this technique comes with a part 2, which is after you exaggerate, dial it back. Nevertheless, the dialed back and legal version can end up being a lot stronger than what you started out with before you exaggerated. Here's how you do this. Take a feature or a benefit of your product and push it to the extreme. Again, not because you'll use the exaggerated version in your final copy, you won't, but because exaggerating as part of a process can help you see the real version more clearly. It works like this. Let's say your product helps someone save 10 minutes a day. That doesn't sound like much, but what if you imagine it saves 10 hours a day? That's ridiculous, But now you start thinking, what could someone do with 10 extra hours? Write a book, start a business, fix their marriage. You zoom way out and then you zoom back in. Suddenly those 10 minutes start to matter more. You could do a small slice of any one of those big things. But even a small slice of a big thing is still a big thing. Or maybe your app organizes emails. You pretend it organizes someone else's entire life. Meals, taxes, love life. That's obviously not true. But it could spark a line like the app that makes your inbox feel like a personal assistant. Here's how to look at this technique. You exaggerate during the ideation process to stretch your creative brain to find bold metaphors or striking phrases you wouldn't get by staying small in your thinking and playing it safe. So the next time you're stuck, take your core idea, crank it up to 100, and see what shows up. You don't need to keep the hyperbole, but the spark it creates, that's yours.
I love this because we do get limited sometimes. It's kind of like the idea of write drunk, edit sober. Sometimes when we're writing sober, metaphorically speaking, we get stuck. We're in a box and our writing ends up coming out feeling that way. But if we write hyperbolically and then edit for the three-letter agencies out there, we end up opening the potential for some amazing creativity.
Yeah, I think so. That's well stated. Okay. Number 8, swipe far and wide. Most people have blinders on when it comes to swipe files. And this is what you were talking about before, Nathan, indirectly. They only look at ads in their own niche. Mm-hmm. Well, financial copywriters read financial ads, health writers read other health promos, and that's fine until your copy starts sounding like everybody else's because your brain is full of ideas from everybody else.
Yep.
So here's an easy fix that increases your creativity in a jiffy. Swipe outside your industry. Look at what's working in completely different markets. Grab a promo from skincare and ask, could this structure work for my SaaS offer? Read a winning weight loss ad and think, what would this sound like if it were all about business coaching? You're not copying the words, you're borrowing the framework. Maybe you see a personal story in a supplement ad that starts, I couldn't get out of bed. That reminds you to open your B&B sales letter, not with a story about not being able to get out of bed, but with a pain point story instead of just a benefit list. Or you see a curiosity-based subject line in a dating email like why he stopped texting you after Tuesday, and you realize you could use the same intrigue for a fitness product, why your fat burning stalled on day 3. Different industries use different angles, and when you cross-pollinate, your copy stands out. So build your swipe file from everywhere. Watch infomercials, save charity fundraising letters, collect e-commerce emails, analyze direct mail from home services. You'll be amazed at what starts showing up in your writing, fresh ideas, new angles, better response, all because you took off the blinders and started looking all around you.
I love this because a lot of times the content we create is a direct response of the content we consume. And if we're only consuming content from one area, our copy is going to sound just like everybody else. It's not going to stand out. People are going to look at it and they're going to say, yeah, I've heard this promise 15 times already. I've heard these pain points 15 times already. But when you take this approach, all of a sudden I'm reading it and I'm like, wait, I've never heard this before. What's this? I need to read more.
Exactly. That's how it works. And I mean, sometimes we get so focused on numbers and response and conversion rates that we forget there's a person having an emotional and curiosity reaction to what we're writing to. That's going to determine those rates. And we need to take care of that first. So that's good. All right. Here's number 9. Let your customers write your hook. You want copy that speaks directly to your market. Sometimes the best thing to do is shut up and listen. After all, your customers are already telling you what they care about, and it's easy to find in reviews, testimonials, survey responses, social media posts, even complaints. And when you mine these words, really listen, you'll find hooks, headlines, and angles that you maybe never would have thought of yourself. The key here is voice. When you write using the words your customer actually says, not just what you think they want or think they should want, but what they actually say, your copy has a better chance of resonating with your prospects. And this does not need to take a day or a week or even an hour. Just set your timer for 10 or 15 minutes, read real feedback, and write down what jumps out at you. Sometimes your best copy is hiding in plain sight and your customer's own words.
I think there was a book called Steal Like an Artist, and that's what you're doing. It's copying, but it's also creativity. It's stealing like an artist.
Exactly. Yeah. So last one's a little more nuanced. It's called perspective shift. There's a concept in psychology called psychological distance. It means thinking about your own problems as if it's happening far away to someone else in another place or a different time. And it turns out this technique can help you think more creatively, like this. Imagine you're writing for a product and you just can't crack the hook. So you ask yourself, if I had to solve this for someone in another country or someone a year from now, what would I say? Or what if I were David Ogilvy? What angle would he take? Or try something like this. If I were creating a YouTube video, what would the thumbnail say? That might turn into your killer headline. Perspective shift is powerful. So the next time the gears grind to a halt, zoom out, and you might see your way to a breakthrough.
I love all of these. It feels like sometimes we get stuck in a rut. Sometimes we get that writer's block. And being able to step outside of the frame that we're in and look at the picture from a different angle will spark a bunch of different things that you couldn't have come across if you just allowed yourself to stay stuck in that frame. I think that was kind of, for me, that was kind of the theme of most of these creativity boosters that we went through today.
Yeah, I think so. You know, one thing occurred to me, and I think about my own process, and I bet other people are like this too. You know, when you're on a roll and you're just producing, you're cranking out copy, and then you get stuck, man, you don't want to get outside of that frame because you want to keep that momentum and that energy. But the fact is, you're burning through your momentum anyway if you're stuck. You're not going anywhere, and you'll get a fresh new batch surge of energy once you have a new idea that you like. And yep. So, I mean, I think there's a certain amount of fear of doing these, not because they're weird or dangerous, but because they might, you know, stop your flow or your momentum. But if you're stuck, it's stopped anyway, and it can be restarted. And maybe the best way to look at this is the best way to restart your flow of energy is with an idea you're really excited about.
Exactly. Okay, David, let's do a recap real quick on the 10 creativity boosters that we went through today.
Sure. So the first one is get moving. Walk, stretch, get your body moving. Second, quantity before quality. Don't stop at the first idea. Write 21. 3, creativity on demand. Build habits and rituals to trigger flow. 4, totally random. Use odd words or images to spark new ideas. 5, talk, talk, talk. Say your pitch out loud before you write it. 6, go contrarian. Flip the script and challenge the norm. 7, exaggerate. Push an idea too far to find something bold. 8, swipe outside your lane. Look in markets besides your niche for structures and angles. 9, let customers talk. Check out customer feedback for phrasing and emotion. And 10, perspective shift. Zoom out. Pretend it's not even your project.
Nice. I love it. All right. So if you enjoyed this episode, if you want to get the 10 creativity boosters and you just want to copy and paste them, you can do that by finding the show notes over at copywriterspodcast.com, as well as 423 other episodes that we have for you over there. So a lot for you to consume and implement in your copy and start cranking out better copy. David, thank you so much, man, for putting this episode together. I appreciate it. I know the listeners appreciate it. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Before we go, a quick question. Would you like to have me as a guest on your podcast? Let me give you an easy way to contact me about that. We've put up a form on garfinkelmedia.com, and it won't take much more than a minute to fill it out. So if you'd like to have me on your show, just go to garfinkelmedia.com and fill out the form. That's garfinkelmedia.com. Thanks, and see you next time on the Copywriters Podcast.